The whole body was just the eye. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which is lacked. That they should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So he goes into detail here about the structure of the body. And you think about your own physical body. Probably the smallest member of your body, your little pinky toe. You drop something on it, your whole body feels it. And your whole body hurts. And it's the same with the spiritual body, the body of Christ. And even as a local church, we're made up of many members, but yet we're one body. Amen? And when I believe every person in the church has their job. Every person in the church has their responsibility and their part of the body. You can't just have just the head and that's it. You wouldn't go nowhere. Amen? You can't have just the arm without the feet or without the ears. There's all aspects of the body. But whenever you were saved, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into that body. That body of believers that is Christ. And when you were saved, you were put into that body. Whenever the Bible speaks about this body, it is not talking about a local congregation. There are people that sit in local Baptist churches or any kind of church. They sit in the local church and they're members of that church, but they're lost. So every time you see the word church in the Bible, or you see the body of Christ being spoke of as being the church, it is not talking about the local congregation in a church building on this earth. Now, the local church that you attend, this church here, White Oak Independent Baptist Church, is not the body of Christ. Now, if you're saved in here this morning, you're a member of the body of Christ. And you're a member of that church, which is the body of Christ. There are some denominations or sects of Baptists that believe that their local church and the outreach of their church is the body of Christ. They believe that they're the bride of Christ and nobody else is, and that is just not the case. There's people sitting in our churches all across this country that are as lost as can be. And if God was to come back, they would find themselves, amen, hanging around here when everybody's gone. Or if they were to die, they'd wake up in hell. I would hate to be sitting on the pew of a good Bible-believing church and end up dying and waking up in hell. Amen. What a shame that would be. It took a lot of character and courage last week for Miss Ellis, Sister Ellis, to stand up and say that she didn't know for sure she was saved. She's been in church her whole life, and man, her family travels around and sings, and she goes to Brother Tim Ellis' church, that great man of God that preached our missions conference, but yet she wanted to make for sure. Amen. And I wonder sometimes, man, I heard an old preacher, I forget which man it was, but he made a statement that he said the problem with the majority of the local churches in this country are there's people sitting in the pews that are lost. And you wonder sometimes about, man, how can you make those decisions or how can you do things? And come to find out that a lot of times they've never asked Christ to come in their heart and save them. And whether through pride or I don't know what it is, but it keeps them from doing it. But I thank God, man. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, if I know that I'm saved, there's not one shadow of doubt in my mind. But if there was, I'd get it right.
Amen.
It ain't worth it. Amen. It's not worth it dying and going to hell. The saved people who attend the local church are in the body of Christ. But those that are lost, they might attend the local church, they might be a member of the local church, but they're not in the body of Christ. The only way that a person can be put into the body of Christ is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. And that happens at the very instance of salvation. Whenever someone asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in their heart and save them, all these things took place at the same time. Do you remember the day you got saved, if you're saved in here this morning? Do you remember that day when you came down? I was 10 years old up there at Charity Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio, and I went down to the altar, man, and when I stood up, I felt like a new man. I felt like a burden had been lifted off my shoulders. I've heard people talk about floating back to their pew. Well, as we study through here, look at all the stuff that happened on the inside of you when you got saved. Every bit of that sin was removed off your account, man. And God did that spiritual circumcision and made the new man. And Christ came to live inside of you. And the Holy Spirit baptized you into His family and into the body of Christ. Man, no wonder. I've seen people cry. I've seen people get saved and have no emotion at all. They're just as saved as you and I are. But man, when you get saved, you know it. You know for sure what just took place. And so the only way that a person can get put into the body of Christ is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Bible mentions other kinds of baptisms. It mentions the baptism of water. And I can give you verses on that. We're not going to cover that right now. That's for another time, another day. But it mentions the baptism of water. In Acts chapter 8, it talks about that. And Acts chapter 2 about them being, but repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That is not the way that we get saved today. That's under John's baptism. That's another dispensation. And there's not time to get into it today. But it does talk about a baptism of water, talks about a baptism of fire, and a baptism of suffering and death. Talking about that, but we're not going to get into those this morning. But there are several kinds of baptisms found in the Bible. But look over to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. There's several different kinds of baptism spoken of throughout the Bible, but we have to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself to prove unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I've been in churches, Brother Hodge, where I've heard them get up and pray for a baptism of fire. They don't know what they're talking about. Amen. That's not something you want to be a part of. Ephesians chapter number 4, and look at verse number 5. Says, look at verse number 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one what? One baptism. Now, verse 6, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Now, there's a baptism of fire in the Bible. There's a baptism of water. There's a baptism of suffering and death. And there's different baptisms. There's seven baptisms mentioned throughout the Bible. But this passage here to the church, it says there's one baptism. And that one baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, putting you into the body of Christ.
Amen.
That is the only one that goes for us. And if you say, well, what about these other ones? And you try to make the other baptisms apply to you when it comes to salvation. When it comes to salvation, you try to make those other ones apply to you. You say, well, you got to be water baptized, be baptized in the water. For salvation, you try to add those things, you're making this verse a lie in your Bible. There's only one baptism that saves you. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, a spiritual baptism, the day that you got saved. Now, we do participate in one of the ordinances of the church in water baptism. But it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with making you any more saved or any less saved or any of those things. It's identifying you as a testimony to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a witness and a testimony for what He did on the inside of you.
Amen.
And Brother Heitz is going to go into some of the detail of that whenever he starts that study. And we're going to have a baptism service here in a few weeks, December 6th, I believe. I have that date right. I've got it messed up so many times. December 6th, and we're going to have a baptism. We've got several people that need to be baptized, and that's a very important thing. But when it comes to your salvation, and whether you're saved or not, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make you any more saved, doesn't make you any less saved. When it comes to salvation, there's one baptism. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. There are so many folks and so many denominations or religious systems or whatever that try to make water baptism a part of salvation. And that is just not the case. If that's true, then this verse right here is a lie. My whole Bible's a lie. And I'm going to do something different. Amen? It's not true. There's only one baptism for the church today. And eventually, it might be 10 years from now, eventually we'll get to all this other stuff. Amen? And learn about what these other baptisms are, and we'll go through there. But when it comes to salvation for the church today, the body of Christ, there's one baptism. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are no references to water anywhere in the book of Ephesians. Here in chapter number 4. When it talks about one baptism, it does not mention anything about water. Certain groups, every time they see the word baptism, in their mind, they think water. Every time they read it, they see baptism, they see water. But the water is not mentioned one time here in this chapter. But look at the references to the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one what?
Spirit.
Look at verse number 30. Verse number 30. And grieve not the what? The Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Go back to verse number 4. We see the Spirit and we see the body. Look at verse 4. There is one what?
Body.
There's one body. Look at verse 16. From the whole what?
Body,
fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the what?
Body,
unto the edifying of itself in love. Water is not mentioned one time here in this chapter, but the Spirit is, and the body. The Spirit of God is what baptizes you into the body of Christ the very moment that you get saved. This is just a warning. You'll come across somebody eventually, and they'll try to make 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, which is what we already read, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." They're going to try to change the wording of that verse to make it sound like a reference to water baptism. Anytime a person has to change a verse to make it line up with their doctrine, their teaching is wrong. Their doctrine is wrong. If there's any time that you're going through the Bible and there's something, or you hear somebody teaching and they correct the Word of God, you need to shut that thing off. Amen. This Bible's always right. We're always wrong. That's it. I mean, this Bible is always the truth. It's always right. And we're always the one that's wrong. And if you have to take it, reword a verse, or you have to explain it differently to make it fit what you believe, and what you believe is wrong. Amen? I had a preacher tell me one time, as a young man, he said this all the time. He said, "Believe the words that are on the page." Amen?
Yeah.
Just believe the words that are on the page. It says, 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." It doesn't say anything about water. Just believe the words on the page. Turn over to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Now this passage here is used a lot in a baptism, a water baptism service after salvation. And it's because of what it pictures. But this passage of Scripture is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 6, and look at verse number 3. You there?
Amen.
Alright, verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were what?
Baptized
into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And I've seen a lot of baptism services, and I've seen them use this verse and talk about dying and buried and rose again, walk in the newness of life. This passage of Scripture is talking about the Holy Spirit baptism when He baptized you into Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at some other references to Holy Spirit baptism. Galatians chapter number 3. Now there is a difference between being baptized with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit living inside of you when you get saved. There's a difference between that and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to preach this morning, the message this morning is about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every single person here needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, then the Holy Spirit of God seals you. He's the one that locks that seal in. But man, when it comes to the rest of your body and the rest of your mind and the things you do, we need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God every day.
Amen.
Now, we're going to preach about that this morning, Lord willing. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 27. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been, what?
Baptized
into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter number 2. Just turn over a few books. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. We see that operation of God again. That's spiritual circumcision. Not one of these verses that we just read are reference to water baptism. So, Brother Andrew, why do you keep saying that? Because I'm telling you, that is a big deal. Water baptism is a big deal. If you take that away from some folks, man, they don't, you know, you ask them about when they got saved. If you were to die today, do you know where you're going to heaven or not? Yes, I know I'm going to heaven. What are you basing that on? Well, I was baptized, or I was sprinkled when I was a baby, or I got baptized down at this church down here. Well, I'm telling you that water right there is not going to save anybody. We fill this thing up here in a few weeks, and amen, we're going to talk to everybody that got saved and make sure they fully understand what salvation means. But that water right there, it's not going to save you. It's not going to save me. You really think the city water system is going to save somebody? Amen. The Church of Christ believe that once you go down into that water, that through the city water system, you come in contact with the blood of Christ, and that's what saves you. And you have to have that man, that preacher, be a part of doing that. Well, you got two errors right there. Amen. You got those city water system or sewage or whatever. Amen. And you got a fallible man all having to be a part of your salvation to make sure you do it right. That is not the case. When you get saved, the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God is what puts you into the body of Christ. It's not the city water system. Amen. If it was, I wouldn't want to do it in Louisiana. I'm telling you, it tasted different. And I got it one night. I was there with another guy from my work went with me. And the very first night we got there, I'm trying to do better and drink more water. And I ordered a water. And he said, no. I said, what are you talking about? He said, do not drink the water down here. I said, it can't be that bad. It was that bad. He said, give me a Coke. Amen. And I changed that up in a hurry. And I didn't drink water the whole time I was there. Got a couple bottles of water, but it was awful. But it blows my mind to think that people really believe that, man, that is what's going to save them. Man, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that saves you. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that does the operation with the Word of God in your heart, the spiritual circumcision. He's the one that baptizes you into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The very moment that you got saved. And water baptism cannot put a person into Christ. And none of these verses are a picture of that, of water baptism. Now, again, you know, we do baptize. We do go through that. That is a picture of what Christ did for us, and He was our example of that. And man, there's a great testimony. Whenever we have that service, I know Brother Nick has invited some of his family, and that is a wonderful opportunity to invite people to come to church.
Amen.
To hear the gospel, amen. To see a testimony, a picture of what took place on the inside of you. The Bible says that we should not be ashamed of what He's done for us. I'm not afraid to tell anybody about what God did for me, that He saved my soul, and man, how good He's been to me.
Amen.
And we ought not to be ashamed.
Amen.
I know after someone gets saved, it's a good practice for them to tell the church what just happened to them. So they can out loud say, God saved me. Amen. That doesn't mean they're perfect. The inside's perfect. That new man's perfect. But God can begin to work on the outside of that person.